You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in our guest, and he is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Vic. How about you?
Excellent, my friend, and thank you for taking a little time with us to talk about this team as it enters now the final phase of offseason workouts. Mandatory minicamp starts this week. So, Tom, give me a sense of what's maybe a main thing or could be a couple of things that you're looking for, you want to see in the course of these next few days where you get a chance, like we all do, for the first time to watch successive practices in a week.
So I'm currently looking out for a new inflatable swan because somebody punctured mine over the weekend.
Nice.
So, this week coming up, all eyes are going to be on the quarterback position and this infancy of the battle between Hoyer and Manziel and where it's going to go. And it's pretty fascinating. And obviously for me, from a national perspective, you know, Johnny Manziel is what everybody wants to talk about right now. And so that's probably the direction we'll end up going. But, you know, beyond that, there are a lot of things I'm interested in seeing. I'm interested in seeing now how Coach Mike Pettine and his staff is going to kind of ratchet things up for these guys. You know, how much more installation is going to go on. I'm fascinated still to see what's going to happen with this wide receiver situation. Mm-hmm. You know, a spot where I still think they're pretty thin and where they still may have to make a move. I'm still interested in seeing some of these rookies. You know, some of these guys have jumped out a little bit. Beyond the rookies, you know, Andrew Hawkins last week, you know, I had tweeted early in the day that I couldn't imagine trying to cover that kid. And then later that day, Justin Gilbert came out and said, I'd rather cover Josh Gordon than Andrew Hawkins. So he's a fun little kid to watch. There's a lot going on out there, but I think the bigger picture for me is going to be the quarterback issue. And then obviously where Coach Mike Pettine is taking this squad.
Tom, what do you think about everybody needing definition and declaration on the Gordon story, that this is it, this is what it's going to be. In other words, let's get a verdict on this thing so that everybody now knows where they sit. And if they got to go out and get more people and expand their vision as far as wide receivers are concerned, then they've got a little bit more time to do it. But let's get some clarity to this thing.
Yeah, I'm really puzzled by it, Jimmy. I'll be honest with you. You know, and as you can imagine, I check in with the league on a daily basis, and I'm been continually told, you know, nothing's going on. And I just feel, you know, the league is almost doing a disservice to the Browns, and that they're dragging this thing on for so long. Now, that also though brings into question, you know, maybe there is an appeal that's being heard at a deeper level than we're all aware of. Maybe there is some kind of an agreement that could be coming that could bring this from a possible year suspension to a reduced suspension. So I think it's still a very fluid situation. I think we're all kind of, you know, waiting by the phone and waiting by our laptops to see what's going to happen. But to your point, Jim, I think it's very important for them to find out the sooner the better because, you know, there are still a couple guys out there that they might want to take a look at.
Yeah.
You know, they still don't know what they've got in Miles Austin. We haven't seen a healthy Nate Burleson yet. There's still so much to be decided at that wideout spot.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, when things break and camp has started, I think that they mushroom bigger, don't you? I mean, I thought
totally
when the rumors came out a couple of years ago, and, you know, Vic, I remember standing beside you on the practice field talking about, you know, the inevitability that Joe Hayden was going to be suspended, but how long was it going to be? And then I can remember, and Tom, you were down there, down at the stadium on that family night practice down there when it did break, and it's just, it becomes bigger, I think,
magnified.
Once they're in camp,
You're absolutely right, because then, you're right, then the need becomes so obvious, like, oh my God, how are they going to get by without this guy? And hey, let's be honest, guys, you know, Josh Gordon last year established himself as probably one of the top 10 players in the NFL.
Oh,
so
this is a big situation
for the Browns, and he means so much to this offense. Now, you know, I heard you guys talking a little earlier, this could be a very different looking offense from the one we saw last year, and then obviously if Josh Gordon is out of the equation, that is definitely the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, in either case, it will be different because of that running game presence. But as you mentioned, I think there's more of an opportunity to run the football when you obviously have less in the way of a receiving core. But I think the thing that's so difficult, and the league doesn't care. Let's get this on the table. The league's agenda and the Browns' agenda or any team's agenda will never run concurrently. They will always be looking at what their scale is, what their timetable is, how protected or have they covered all their bases or covered something else in the course of how they deal with these things. That's how the league operates. Teams are at the mercy of the league, and that's what we're dealing with here. So that won't even be an issue like, oh, this would be great for the Browns to know now, so it won't be something that hits them like a, you know, like a grenade going off somewhere.
Right.
I mean, they don't care.
And to that point, Vic, you know, I feel bad for the Browns in this sense that, you know, they went out of their way this offseason to really incorporate Josh Gordon into all their offseason activities. You know, he had a big part in some of these free agency visits, and I know, you know, he would sit at the table next to Jimmy Haslam and Mike Patton. So you hope also as this goes on that, you know, Josh Gordon's getting the help that he needs, and hopefully a kid of this unbelievable, immeasurable talent is not going to throw away his career.
What did you make of, though, the stories that came out, of course, the revisionist history, whatever we want to call it, when the story appeared in the Cleveland Plain Dealer regarding the interview with Joe Banner? I guess one of only a couple he's done. I think it's the second extensive one he's done since leaving the Browns. And he talked about, you know, that the idea was to trade Gordon in anticipation of something like this. But basically it was, you know, hearing Rob Chudzinski say, hey, there's enough people around here, enough strong people to kind of keep him on the straight and narrow. And effectively, it sounded like that's what talked him out of it, because the offer of a second-round pick, I had always understood that would have been enough to get a deal done, as I understood where
second-round pick and players.
And players.
Right? And players.
As I understood where Joe Banner was coming from. That's what I was hearing internally. But what do you make of that, Tom?
Well, you know, I'm not a fan of these revisionist history stories. You know, I'd like to find out the facts as they're.
It's always cleaner when you look back.
Yeah, very much so. Everybody gets a chance to kind of, you know, rework history a little bit. So they scare me off to begin with. But I do buy into what was said in that, you know, Chudzinski felt like, hey, we can work this kid, and he is way too much of a talent to throw away. And I still feel the same way. You know, I've heard from a lot of people over the last 2 weeks, you know, get rid of Josh Gordon, and we've had it with him. Well, you know what? And Vic, you and I had this conversation many times. You know, it's better to have him as your problem than have him somewhere else. So, especially if you have, you know, if you have something built in within your system to try to help these kids along, that, boy, I'd hate to see Josh Gordon go anywhere.
Well, Tom, do you think also, you know, in this revisionist story that came out, do you think also the reaction that they would have gotten, because it would have only been a couple of weeks after they had traded Richardson, that they might have shied away from doing it? Because, I mean, if you remember, the first thing that was said on the night of the Richardson trade was, hey, the Browns are waving the white flag on the year.
Yeah.
Right.
And
they had to come out.
Right.
Yeah, and the only thing that saved that was Brian Horry goes out and beats the Vikings then, you know, that Sunday. But now that trading deadline would have only been a couple of weeks now separated from the Richardson trade, and then I definitely think you would have had,
who,
you know.
Right. And who knows what Josh Gordon would have been had he gone somewhere else. You're right. But at that time, you're right, Jimmy. I mean, everybody was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on now?
Yeah.
And at that point, too, Josh Gordon was just starting to emerge into the, you know, top caliber wide receiver that he has become.
Tom Withers of the Associated Press joins us via the Ohio Business Machines hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So you heard this, too, Tom. Mike Patton was telling reporters over the weekend that he was approached about the Browns being part of the Hard Knocks series on HBO. This was before the drafting of Johnny Manziel and turning it down. Now, this is a little, the only question I have about this is, my understanding had been the league rule that first-year head coaches, teams with first-year coaches, weren't in the mix for this. But if all of this is I can also see the league, again, doing its own thing and saying, well, hey, you know, we'll make an exception for you, because it sounds like the league obviously has a hard time getting any coaches that want to do this thing, but he turned it down. Do you think that was a good idea, or now with Johnny aboard and how much rich content that this Browns camp is expected to provide us all, that it would have been a good thing?
I almost feel like we're in Hard Knocks now with this kid, to be honest with you. I mean, we've had, you know, in the 3 weeks since he's been here or whatever it's been, I mean, it's been one thing after the next. So I can understand where Coach Patton's coming from on that. Yeah, you want to keep the distractions to a minimal. You know, he went through that already once with the Jets, and probably has a good idea of how invasive it can be and what a distraction it could be. So I'm glad he chose that ladder. But, you know, by the same token, I think we've had a lot going on with Johnny. It just seems like there's going to be more and more with him. It's going to be interesting tomorrow. I think we're going to have to approach Coach Fenton with, you know, just the latest on him. You know, the kid had another spectacular weekend. I'm not sure there's too many guys on the planet can say that they went down and partied at the X Games, got drafted by the San Diego Padres, and then sat courtside at Game 2 of the NBA Finals.
You know what, Tom, I just feel like such a fuddity-dud right now. I really do. And I feel I'm a very active, vibrant young man.
You have You've got that rubber ducky. Come on.
I'm a vibrant middle-aged man. But I really feel like even when I was his age, I was a stick in the mud.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. I mean,
I feel like I'm in the Joel Osteen's clergy. I feel like I'm sitting listening to one of his sermons on
Shirley Temple or two in your day. Come on, young man.
I think we, you know, hey, we all, in seriousness, though, for one second, I think we all did have our wild times or whatever. I think the danger, though, with Johnny, especially in this new social media world that we work in, is that it's pretty obvious that all eyes are on him all the time. So.
Sure.
I think, you know, whether this conversation has happened or not, you know, you guys are dads. You know, I've had conversations with my 16-year-old son about, you know, decision-making and putting yourself in good situations and taking yourselves out of bad ones. And I don't know, in my mind, it might not be a great look for the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns to publicly be jumping on top of an inflatable swan with a bottle of champagne. Not to say it. You know, there's not some jealousy involved. I wouldn't mind doing that myself every once in a while.
But some of us,
I also think there's this perception, though. Sorry to interrupt. There's this perception, though, that he is kind of this party boy, and this is two of the last three weekends where he's been out on very public display.
Sometimes it's do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
And that advice dispensing thing. But here's the thing that's going to be interesting, guys, is when the reality sinks in, and I think this is how this is going to play. We've seen this is I'm not saying anything new here, but right up to this point, what is the lengthy one-on-one introspective conversation that any media person has had with Johnny Manziel up to this point? The answer is zero.
On
a local or a national basis.
I agree.
We're talking with Tom, of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, who is, when he writes about the Browns, it is for the rest of the country's consumption primarily, although everybody's is. But the point is that, you know, the Peter Kings, I'm not singling anybody out here, but when the folks from those national media outlets seek their one-on-one with him, which is what they all do. All the years, 12 years I spent with NFL.com, NFL Network, that was the whole point. You'd make your producer or you would make arrangement with the respective campaign. Yeah. I want my sit-down with whoever it might be, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, Tom Brady, whatever, and or with SiriusXM. That's as I understand it, not going to happen. And I can see you think we had a blowback back in rookie minicamp.
Where do you see this blowback of months?
We're going to go through months, weeks, and months of
Tom. Tom, I thought that didn't Texas A&M really keep everybody at arm's length from
him?
They did.
In fact, In fact, Coach Sundlin actually broke his own rule then by allowing Manziel to be interviewed because, you know, much like a lot of the big programs, you know, they keep the freshmen off limits or what have you. But you know, the Johnny football thing just grew to such a proportion that they finally relented. And you know, to your point, Vic, I had a very parallel situation with LeBron a few years ago where I think I was the first one to have an actual one-on-one sit-down interview with him, and that was 3 years into his NBA career. So you're right, I think there is going to be a lot of blowbacks from some of the national guys who come wandering in here in June and July and are told that Mr. Manziel is not available today. So
he's lifting.
You
want to sit down with Connor Shaw? He's all yours.
But, you know, in fairness to Johnny, though, I do think he has handled things in a very mature way when we have spoken to him. You know, I've been very impressed with him in terms of his humility, in terms of just his approach in general. And then in talking to guys behind the scenes telling me that, you know what, he is in the weight room. He is in his playbook. So, you know, for what we do see occasionally, thrown out on Twitter or on TMZ or wherever else, there's another side of Johnny that we're not seeing. Mm.
All right, Tom, great stuff and great chance to talk with you, and I'm sure we'll see you around the campus over these next few days.
I'll see you both tomorrow. Thanks
a lot,
guys.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press, he joins us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can take any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. I'm holding a document provided by this provider.
Oh, right.
Visit Ohio Business.
That makes it much more
authenticity,
authentic,
right?
Yeah.
Because the listener can't see this. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. You'll vouch for me, right?
This is absolutely. I mean, if you were holding it on a piece of yellow legal pad, your words would mean nothing to me, but the fact that you are holding that document and it's matched up is perfect.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
145 we are going to have while we're late for it. But Steve Mariucci from NFL Network, advice to Johnny. You got to listen to that coming up.
Good.
CBD.